Tomorrow night, Comedy Central's Kroll Show ends its 3-season run. Nick Kroll is the star and creator of the show. He's well-known in comedy circles, starting out as a writer for Chappelle's Show and starring in the FX series The League. On Kroll Show, he brings us characters like Bobby Bottle Service, a paranormal investigator and wedding planner, and George and Gil, who do a prank show where they give their guests too much tuna fish.
You know, Jeffrey, you're on a prank show, Too Much Tuna, where we're going to deliver too much tuna fish to you.
I mean, Well,
let's just see what happens.
Oh, look at this.
That's wonderful. Thank you.
Okay. You're probably thinking...
Probably.
You're probably thinking that's
no,
too much
tuna. I'm not thinking anything, no. I think it's great.
You ticked off?
No, not at all.
Are you just heated at us for giving you this much tuna?
Not at all.
We've had a lot of guests on Too Much Tuna.
And this is just Too Much Tuna.
Nick Kroll joins us from Los Angeles. Nick Kroll, welcome to Here and Now.
Thanks for having me.
So tell us, and I know you've talked about this a little bit, but why are you ending the show?
I felt like the show, which is a sketch show, but really has become a number of different recurring characters and worlds, that they had come to sort of a natural conclusion. We organically told the stories we wanted to tell, and as opposed to either starting over or trying to juice the orange more, just to let it finish and on its best note.
But don't you think you would have come up with another note that might have been better? I mean, after doing the show for a few years now, you don't think that you could have come up with another season, even if some of these characters went away?
I feel like I needed to leave a little more time to dedicate to NPR interviews.
Well, and I wonder, actually, because of your background, and you were a writer on the Chappelle Show, whether you compare the success of the Kroll Show to the Chappelle Show.
Oh, I mean, I think the landscape is so different from when Chappelle's Show was on to what is happening now, in that at that point, 10 or 12 years ago, there was really – you could either have – there was one sketch show on Comedy Central, maybe one on HBO, and then there was Saturday Night Live and very little internet. I mean, the Chappelle's Show was the biggest selling DVD of all time, and – now, you know, you'd be lucky to sell 100 DVDs. It's a different landscape, and there's so much content out there now. So you've got Comedy Central and Adult Swim and FX and all the websites like College Humor, Funny or Die, Crackle, you know, even BuzzFeed, and all these other places are making sketch, as well as people just on YouTube making their own sketch. And on Comedy Central alone, there's Kroll Show, Key and Peele, Schumer, and then you've got Drunk History and Nathan Free, which are all not necessarily sketch shows, but there's so much content out there now, which is amazing. It means that so many different people can make a living making comedy, but I also think it means that no show can be as impactful as something like Chappelle's Show was, you know, 10, 12 years ago.
Well, let's listen to a clip from your show. And this is a character that has come back a few times, I think. Basically, I could just describe the person as a European. Here he is.
Want to know everything you want to know about coming to Europe? Well, watch this video from the Spotted Ox Hostel, the coolest hostel in all the countries of Europe. For breakfast, we'll do something cool, like have a cigarette and like a bar of chocolate. And then we go for work for like 1 half hour, 2 half hour. And then we'll go for lunch. And lunch is usually, you know, something cool, like a cigarette and like 2-3 bottles of red wine and then like a bowl of heavy cream. And then dinner, you know, we'll do something healthy, like, you know, 4 or 5 sausages and then like a chocolate cigarette. And then we'll invite our cigarette
So, Nick Kroll, where did that character come from?
I just started talking like that, a European guy, and it originated with a joke that I was doing about cigarettes, how everyone in this country has to quit smoking, but only the very rich and the very poor will continue to smoke because they're the only ones who don't care about the future, but that the other group who seems to smoke with seemingly no ill effect are Europeans. So, and then I started to sort of do that voice and build it out and did it for the show. And the European guy through 3 seasons is an example of a thing that started as a one-off sketch of just a funny sort of takedown of Europeans and their weird eating and smoking behavior. But by season 3, he's now become what appears to be a Johan Vandersloot character, a possible international serial killer, who this season on the show has been popping up over the course of the season, and continues to say that he's hiding in plain sight and might be responsible for the murder of one of my other characters, Dr. Armand's wife. So season three has really been about tying these various characters who were living in their own worlds together into sort of a longer form narrative.
I'm ashamed to say that I can correct you on this, but I think his name was Joran Vandersloot instead of Johan.
Yes, thank you.
I guess I watched too much Nancy Grace for a while.
Yeah, or not enough.
Well, are there characters on the show that come from you that are even close to you in some weird way, even if they're obviously very different?
I would say that all the characters have some bit of me in it. I am prone to cry pretty easily, just like Bobby Bottle Service when he thinks about his mother. I can occasionally like to get a little wild, like Caesar, the toilet baby from Alhambra, who I play. I love my friends, like Liz from Publicity. I'm from New York. And I do love a tuna sandwich like Gil and George from Oh Hello. And I could go on and on. I mean, I think the characters that I enjoy playing are the ones that I can access something truthful and real in my own life, even though they themselves are very heightened archetypes of people.
Let's listen, by the way. You mentioned Liz from Publicity. Let's listen to a clip of that.
This client could be the one who changes the game for us. Because honestly, our company is out of money.
The company is in trouble and I'm going to save it, even if it means that we have to work with the devil himself.
All right, let's get this consultation schnarded, right?
I'm Liz. I bankrupted the company and now it's time for me to grow up because I'm looking for love.
And I'm Liz. I got bangs.
Our PR firm is called Publicity.
Nick Kroll, you have said that this show is a comedy hybrid. Can you tell us what you mean by that?
Yeah, I think it's the idea is that it's not a straight sketch show because these characters keep recurring and we keep progressing their stories along. And yet it's not a classic sitcom in any capacity. Seth Meyers coined the phrase jokingly, but it actually I think was somewhat valid. It's called sketchuational comedy. It's sort of a hybrid in that you're not just watching a sketch show. You are living with these characters that you keep coming back to and become hopefully invested in. And I think, again, that as you mentioned earlier, whether it's Chappelle's show or all the other shows that are out there right now, my quote-unquote competition, I think our goal was to do something that felt unique and different from some of the other shows that are on the air. And this felt like one way to do it, just based off of the kind of stories and characters that I was interested in exploring with my writing team.
How much improv is involved in coming up with these ideas?
Well, there's, you know, I like to say that there's improv at every stage of making a show like this. It's weird to say this, but like the writing process itself is improvised. It's all the writers in a room and we're all coming up and spitballing ideas. And so, you know, we form an idea in that capacity. Then a script gets written. And then once we're on stage, you know, not only am I improvising with my co-stars like John Daly or Jenny Slate or John Mulaney or Chelsea Peretti, but the writers and directors who work on the show, like John Levinstein, who runs the show, and our directors this year, Bill Benz and Dan Longino, have a chance to also give their input. So nothing is... A script is a script, and it's if a joke is great, like we'll play the joke. But I would say there's a what ends up on the air is a ton of jokes that were improvised on set.
You mentioned John Mulaney there. I noticed that he and you and Mike Birbiglia and Jim Gaffigan and even Bradley Cooper went to Georgetown. Is there something that happened at Georgetown that created this group of talented people?
You know, it's really bizarre that, you know, because Georgetown is not known as a really artsy school, but I actually think that part of that was in and of itself helpful, that sometimes to go to the school where if we'd gone to NYU or USC or schools that were really focused on, you know, TV and film, that sometimes that can be harder. You get a little lost in the fray if you don't get the one big part in the play. It's, you know, can be difficult to really transition through. But when you're at a school like Georgetown where the arts were not the focus, if you wanted to perform, there were a ton of opportunities to do so, and you could be sort of a big fish in a smaller pond. So Mike and John and I, at various stages of our time in college, not only were doing improv once a month for 250 people, but we were hosting a cappella fest. We were, you know, performing at the closing ceremonies for the school or whatever it was. We just got a lot of stage time, so that by the time we got to New York, we had already begun to figure out our voices and just get the, for lack of a better term, 10,000 hours.
Nick Kroll, star and creator of The Kroll Show on Comedy Central. Nick Kroll, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.